Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety FAQ podcast. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and I'll be answering your questions about child and teen anxiety. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I've been working with kids and families for more than 30 years. Now I run Child Anxiety Support, a membership program for parents of anxious kids and teens. Let's get started. This week's question comes from a listener who asked, "Does mindfulness help child anxiety?" Mindfulness is a big buzzword these days, especially around anxiety, and so I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it here. Thank you to that listener who sent the question my way, and they asked not only if mindfulness helps child anxiety, but if it does, how exactly? All right, first let's define mindfulness, and for this, I'm going to head to my trusty Oxford Language Dictionary, and I'm sharing their second definition, which describes mindfulness as a, quote, mental state achieved by focusing one's awareness on the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations used as a therapeutic technique. I'd say that's pretty dang accurate. So that's the definition we're going to go ahead and use for this episode. Now let's go back to the question. Does it help child anxiety? Does achieving a mental state by focusing one's awareness on the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations help child anxiety? The answer depends on how we're going to define help. Because lots of people, when they first begin thinking about and working on child anxiety, are focused on stopping anxiety. They'll call me and they say, "My child is anxious and I'd like to help them learn how not to be anxious." Or they'll say, "I want them to learn how to cope." But as we dig further into what they're asking me about, it's clear that the proof of coping would be the eradication of anxiety. And I get that. That's the way I used to think about anxiety too before I had my clinical training. That's why we say things to our kids like, "You don't have to be nervous," or "There's nothing to be afraid of." We see tears or tantrums or meltdowns and we think, "Oh gosh, this is not working. My child is feeling their anxiety and something has to change. We need to get rid of their anxiety." But that's not actually the help for anxiety. Not feeling anxiety is not the answer to anxiety. So does mindfulness help in that it eliminates anxiety? No, actually, that is not why it helps. It does help, but it helps because it's a way to feel the anxiety. Mindfulness does not mean not feeling. It's right there in the definition that we just used. It means not only feeling, but being aware of the feeling. It means noticing our thoughts. It means noticing the way anxiety shows up in our body, maybe that our stomach is aching or nauseous. It means noticing it and accepting it, not fighting it. When I say that, when I explain that this is what we're doing with mindfulness, I'm curious, what is your reaction? When I say your child is just going to have to sit with that tummy ache, or just sit with that feeling of wanting to run away, or just sit with their anger that you are, in their eyes, refusing to help them when you're not helping them avoid the thing that makes them nervous. I'm curious about how that feels to you. I imagine for some of us, for a lot of us, that feels yucky. And noticing that yuck, noticing that perhaps you feel resistance to allowing your child to suffer with their anxiety, that noticing of the feeling is mindfulness. I think paying attention to the similarities of our experience with our child's experience is incredibly helpful when it comes to child anxiety. In fact, I think it's key. And if you listen to my podcasts and if you join my membership, you'll see this come up over and over again, that in order to help our children with their anxiety, we need to first address our anxiety about their anxiety. So when I talk about mindfulness and child anxiety, first, I want the parents to explore their anxiety. I want us to work on our own mindfulness skills, because through that, we will be able to help our kids. Let's say, for example, that your child is anxious about a new babysitter. You've got plans to go out to dinner with your partner, and you'll be back kind of late. There's a new babysitter. You know them and you trust them. Let's say they're your neighbor's niece. She's getting her degree in early childhood education. So you trust your neighbor, you trust this young woman, and you really like her. But your child hasn't met her yet. And you know your child doesn't like anyone else around, especially at bedtime. And so you're nervous. You're going to be out late and you want to go out. You have special tickets to a big thing, a big show, a concert that you're looking forward to. And you're excited to put on grown-up clothes and eat at a grown-up restaurant. And you're excited about seeing this show, but you're also nervous. You're nervous that your child isn't going to talk to the babysitter. You're nervous that they're going to melt down when you try to leave. You're nervous that the babysitter won't be able to build any kind of rapport. You're nervous that your child will be constantly texting you during dinner and during the show. And if you turn your phone off or put it on airplane mode during the performance, you'll miss an emergency call. And so basically, you're just kind of a mess about it. Your mess about it mirrors your child's mess about it. Your worry about your child's worry is a helpful lens into what is happening for your child. Now, let's bring mindfulness into it. Mindfulness doesn't mean that you ignore your worry, pretend it's not happening, or distract yourself away from it. It means you sit and you notice it. You don't do anything else necessarily. You don't try to talk yourself out of it or try to manage it. You just notice it. Because noticing it helps you step outside of yourself. You can try narrating what you observe, and doing this literally can actually help a lot. And maybe that sounds like saying things out loud to yourself, like saying out loud, "Man, when I think about walking out the door, I can feel my breath get more shallow. I think my heart rate might go up. I catch myself trying to talk myself out of going or into going. I feel like my mind races." You could journal your way through it. You could also talk it out with someone who is willing to listen, and this part is important, is not going to try to solve things. Because the trying to solve things, that's jumping ahead. That's taking you out of the mindfulness. In mindfulness, you allow yourself to be in two places at once. You are having the experience, and you are noticing yourself having the experience. You might feel yourself drawn to look back, like the last time you tried to go out. Or you might feel yourself drawn to look forward, like trying to plan about how things might go. And those things, you know, you can spend time doing them. But when you're practicing mindfulness, bring yourself back into what's happening now. And that can even be just saying to yourself, "I keep pulling back to the last time we tried to leave. I'm just going to sit here and notice the way I am pulled back to those memories." Or, "I feel an urgency to plan ahead. I notice the way that I want to run from this feeling and plan ahead." You can say to yourself, "I am having all of these feelings. I am noticing all of these sensations in my body. And I notice the feeling of the sofa cushion I'm sitting on, the rough fabric of my couch. I can hear wind chimes outside or traffic. I'm aware that the light in this room dims when the sun goes behind the cloud, and that brings us back to the present. We notice the pull away, and we notice the things here that bring us back. So how does mindfulness help? It helps by letting us sit with the feelings until they pass. It helps us acclimate to the feeling of being uncomfortable, which is key to dealing with anxiety. It also helps us notice that feelings do not persist. They are transient. Now, there are lots of different ways to be mindful. It does not have to be sitting quietly. You can go for a walk. You can tune into the walking. You know how some people think more clearly when they listen to background music when they're doing something else? For example, I have to listen to concentration music while I'm writing. And when I'm writing these podcasts, I'm usually reading them out loud as I write. It's the same kind of thing. You're not doing mindfulness wrong if you do it differently than someone else. Your goal is to just be with the feelings in whatever way you can. And movement can help us be in two places at once. It can help us look at our experiences more objectively. For some kids, especially anxious kids, it can be a lot easier to stick with a feeling when they're moving. I used movement a lot in my clinical work with kids. Asking them to sit with their feeling could be overwhelming, but when we could pace around my playroom, I had a large playroom, so there was room for walking, room for playing toss, even room for kids to do cartwheels, then they were able to take a break from the feeling and come back, to sit with it and move through it and learn how to feel those uncomfortable feelings. Again, there is no wrong way to learn how to engage with our feelings. Remember, anxiety is about avoidance, and the avoidance is focused on helping us not to feel uncomfortable. But we do need to feel uncomfortable to overcome our anxiety, and mindfulness is an excellent tool to do this. It gives us the opportunity to step into being anxious, to step into being uncomfortable, to step into distress, but not run from those anxious, uncomfortable, distressing feelings. It's fine to dip in and out. It's fine to build up our tolerance a little bit at a time. Mindfulness does not have goalposts. It's a practice, which means we practice it. By the way, if you'd like some help in bringing mindfulness to your day-to-day living, you can head to my site and take the Parenting Pitfalls quiz, because at the end of the quiz, you'll have the opportunity to sign up for my free 7-day Get Yourself Grounded email course. Just go to childanxietysupport.com/quiz. Thanks for tuning in this week. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on the show, you can reach out to me by going to childanxietysupport.com and submitting a question there. You can also check out the program while you're there. And if you'd like to learn more about whether or not it would be a good fit for your family, feel free to reach out for a quick consult call. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week.